Welcome back to the Bun Sports Show. Jacob Bun along with David Sears here as we begin the off season of college football. A couple weeks after college football season has actually ended. Of course, Auburn won the national championship. Cam Newton won the Heisman, but that's all over now, and everybody seems to be wanting to take it away from Auburn. David, you doing well in the off season?
Really enjoying it. Really enjoyed the signing day. Jadeveon Clowney was the last big fish out there, and no surprise, he goes to South Carolina. Alabama would have loved to have gotten him, but the Quandro signing definitely helped them. Number one overall class according to Rivals, top three to most recruiting services. I think Sports Inc. Scouts Inc. had him like five or six. But pretty fun. Now we just sit back and wait for spring training to come around. A lot of schools have started. Alabama and Auburn getting ready to start the 23rd and 24th of March. Both have A-Day on April 16th. We'll be interested to see the quarterback battles at both schools, Trotter and Mosley at Auburn, and Sims and McCarron at Alabama. Alabama has a lot to replace on offense. They lose Mark Ingram, but they still have Trent Richardson. Will Eddie Lacy step up? Will Goode step up? That'll be fun to see. Auburn, they're basically rebuilding that offensive line. They've lost everybody but Green and I forget the other offensive, the one that replaced Green. But it's going to be a fun place. Lots of battles, position battles to pay attention to. But I fear that we won't be talking too much about that. But I fear that the big news will be coming out with what Scott Moore alleged this morning on WNSP down in Mobile.
Scott Moore, by the way, is an Alabama talk show host who is now once again starting a radio show with William Barger, but he has been a radio talk show host before. Now he came out and said that he had heard tapes from Cecil Newton saying that he had shot Cam Newton to several schools, and they were very implicatory comments. Scott Moore, and everybody's wondering, is Auburn going to keep their national championship, and if not, how long will it be before they get it taken away? Will they have it before the start of next season? And nobody knows. But you mentioned the offensive line, rebuilding the offensive line. What they may want to focus on rebuilding are the two trees at Auburn, the Toomers Oaks, because while we were away, it came to public light that Harvey Updike, a gentleman from Dadeville, Alabama, poisoned the two Toomers trees. Now, that's alleged. It hasn't been proven yet, and he is, of course, charged with that. But he called the Paul Feinbaum Radio Network in January and said that he had done that, so that's why the reason to believe he did it. But he said he went to Auburn, poisoned the trees, and put spike 80 DF, which is a harmful substance. I'm not much on agronomy, but a harmful substance in the trees, and apparently they're dying. And Auburn fans are really more upset about that than they would be if their national championship got taken away.
The weekend after the Iron Bowl, I went to Auburn, Alabama, because I live 30 miles away, sure. And I poisoned the two Toomers trees. I put spike 80 DF in them. They're not dead yet, but they definitely will die.
Is that against the law to poison a tree?
Well, do you think I care?
No.
Okay, I really don't.
Okay.
Roll damn tide.
Part of the fun with this is he allegedly poisoned the trees. You get a couple of days later after he makes this allegation on the Paul Feinbaum Radio Network. Someone from Auburn says, no, there's no sign of this poison in the trees. There's nothing wrong. The trees are not poisoned. Well, then you get a couple weeks later, yes, these trees are poisoned. So did someone else poison them while he made this allegation and he said this? Did somebody else go and poison it? Or did the poison just take that long to act? Spike 80DF is known to stop photosynthesis in trees. So basically, photosynthesis is a way a tree converts sunlight with the chlorophyll into food. It's how a tree eats, basically, converting carbon dioxide and sunlight into fuel. This is a little fun biology lesson for you. But supposedly the trees were already dying. There's conflicting reports saying in 2007 a report came out said the trees were dying due to the pressure washing and toilet paper rolling of the trees. But then you have Auburn fans saying, no, those reports were false. None of that happened. So you've got all sorts of fun stuff going on. Updike seems he's a little off his rocker. A lot of Alabama university officials have done their best to distance themselves from Harvey. His landlord came out and basically had to evict him due to a threat of physical harm to him, physical harm to Harvey Updike, and apparently there's been property damage to the lake cabin and to Harvey Updike's car. It's just all sorts of fun stuff is going on with this. The attorney for Harvey Updike quit, then the second one quit, then the third one quit, and now we have Larry Langford's former attorney, who did such a great job of keeping Larry out of federal prison, now representing Harvey Updike. So we've got all sorts of fun stuff going on right here. It's like, you know what, we'll take a time off. No, we can't do that. News is always going to happen.
And in other news, believe it or not, there's more news pertinent to college football. Tennessee, yesterday, or actually Wednesday, the gauntlet came down. With they received their notice of allegations from the governing body of college athletics, the NCAA, and there were some allegations in there, but they all occurred under the previous administration, which of course was Lane Kiffin and his assistants. And you mind can wander on who those assistants might have been or who that assistant might have been, but they had impermissible phone contact. Impermissible this, impermissible that. So the NCAA is cracking down on Tennessee. Now, we won't know what the punishment will be until later on in the year, because the NCAA works like that. They'll tell you what you've done and then take a few months, decide, and then come out with the judge's sentencing on your punishment, so to speak. But they will get punished, and it's not good. Now, Tennessee basketball is in bigger trouble, but we'll stick with college football. It doesn't look good for Tennessee, but I think if they just keep cleaning things up, I think Derek Dooley we'll get that program turned around.
Very much so. This morning on the opening drive, Stuart Mandel was on, and he wrote a very scathing piece that Tennessee's chancellor needs to get rid of the AD, Mike Hamilton. You have your two biggest sports programs both being hit with NCAA sanctions. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know that under Hamilton's watch, he hired Bruce Pearl, he hired Lane Kiffin, he forced out the legendary Philip Fulmer from Tennessee, and It's all happened on his watch. You're responsible for the Derek Dooley. We're going to see how this pans out. He had an okay first year. If the other teams would have not have been penalized in the final plays, it would have saved their season. I mean, they lost two games in a heartbreaking fashion. But it's going to be very bad, because Lane Kiffin, according to Scott Moore, made a $200,000 offer to buy Cam Newton. So Tennessee allegedly was going to pay them $200,000 for Cam Newton to come to Tennessee because they needed a quarterback that desperately. It's not looking good for Tennessee. It's a shame, because they are a traditional power. They're a very well-represented school throughout the state. They've been dominant in the East. It used to be the East before this year was either Florida, Tennessee, occasionally Georgia. And then this year, South Carolina finally broke through. But Tennessee, I've always hated them. I'm not gonna lie. I've always hated them. I've hated them because of Peyton Manning. I've hated them because of Philip Fulmer. I've never really liked Tennessee. But I enjoy the rivalry. I never got where I wanted to go poison Smokey or anything. But it's a shame to see this. It's really looking like the SEC is becoming the old Southwestern Conference. Pretty soon we'll have everybody on postseason ban but Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt gets to go to the postseason as the SEC champion by default with a losing record, you know? Everybody's got allegations right now. There's stuff against Alabama, stuff against Arkansas. Everybody's cheating. Everybody's apparently buying players. If you listen to all the message boards out there, if you listen to talk radio, if you listen to us. So it's just, there really is no clean program. Boosters are starting to get out of control, and it's very similar to the old Southwestern Conference, and eventually it took the NCAA dropping the hammer on Southern Methodist with the death penalty, which I don't think we'll ever see again due to the devastation it caused, not only SMU, but to the entire Southwestern Conference. You can thank the SEC's rise in power to the fall of the Southwestern Conference, with Alabama, with the SEC gaining Arkansas and then stealing South Carolina from the ACC. So it's just a bad time right now for the SEC PR-wise. A lot of people are under the assumption that Slive cut a backroom deal to keep Auburn eligible so the SEC can get their five straight national titles in football. I guess the best thing you could compare it to is ACC basketball right now has back-to-back NCAA basketball tournaments, but it's just very, very shady right now, and hopefully we'll find out some more about the shadiness with this HBO Real Sports special coming up March 30th, which should cast a very interesting light upon the entire deal of college athletics.
Well, it will, and I want to go back to Mike Hamilton. He's clearly at fault here. He's allowed this to go on under his watch, and I believe there are three major sports are now at least have been under investigation or are under investigation. Basketball, with the fact that Bruce Pearl has been allowed to remain the coach there of the basketball school there in Tennessee is embarrassing. I mean, Mike Hamilton, he has a coach that blatantly lied to the NCAA and continued to violate the rules. And then you have the thing with Tennessee football, Lane Kiffin, that's in the past. I don't think they'll get punished too hard for that because Lane Kiffin now is at USC. It's really a bad situation there all the way around at Tennessee, and the blame is at the feet of Mike Hamilton for sure. Well, what you said in a larger sense, yeah, I think the SEC is getting investigated from a lot of angles. But what is this HBO thing? And that's what we're all trying to get a handle on. Somebody said it was going to have an Alabama player saying he got paid. Another person said Sports by Brooks, I believe, had a report that that Stanley McGlover, former Auburn player, was going to come out and said that Tuberville staff paid him. And since today, Ronnie Brown said that's not true. Nobody got paid under the Tuberville era. Well, I mean, you can draw your own conclusion. But that's just where it is right now, and it's a real deal, and the SEC is looking worse and worse for it. All right, I want to shift gears for just a second, go back to Alabama. We talked about a little bit about that quarterback battle between, right now I believe it's just between A.J. McCarron and Phillip Sims. Analyze that for us.
Well, you bought two similar styles. They're both prototype pocket quarterback passers. McCarron had the deal of being the redshirt freshman this year, getting a little mop-up duty, thrown into a very difficult situation when McElroy was knocked out of the game with a concussion against Auburn and almost put in impossible odds. And then you have Sims. Phillip Sims has been highly touted. He's out of Virginia. He's supposedly got a rocket arm. He's a lot of people want to say that he's a Michael Vick type. Merely they assume that because he's black. But no, he's mainly a drop back passer. We'll see. McCarron tends to try to force balls in there. We've seen that in his game experience. He tries to make a play with his arm. He doesn't check down. He tries to go for the big ball every time. Pretty much you can see from all every time that McCarron came in with his mop-up duties, he always went for a deep ball first. He never really checked down. He always went for Julio or Hanks or Mays for a deep pass. That's just his style. He's probably got that cockiness that you want your quarterback to have, feeling that just give me the ball and give me the time, I can win the game for you. We don't really know too much about Sims due to Saban's policy about freshmen not speaking to the media. So we did not really get to meet him or really find out about him. He'll kind of come out of his shell this year during spring training. Hopefully we'll get a little media time with him. But I'm looking forward to it. They both have rocking arms. They both supposedly great decision makers, and we'll just see what they do with the depth chart, the evil word to Nick Saban, of course. And we'll find out which one will play with the ones, which one plays with the twos. McCarron and Sims have rumored that they may transfer if they don't win the starting job. So we may see the starting job carry over into summer camp just so Saban can hold on to both of them. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. Alabama should have a pretty good quarterback duel, and they've had pretty decent success with first-year quarterbacks under Saban. So we'll see what happens. I've got a feeling that McCarron will probably win the job, and a lot of people say it's because he's white. I say no, it's because he's had a year in the system playing it, plus he got spanked by Saban. So we'll see. I think Sims has a very good chance if he does the little things, because that is what Saban is, a very big details person. He really wants you to see the little things, do the proper footwork. If you have double coverage deep but you have single coverage underneath, will you check down to the single coverage? Will you do the smart things so that the defense can win the game for you and the offense not lose it? I think that's got a very good shot. We'll see who makes the better decisions. It's going to be a fun spring training. Most of the practices, of course, will be closed to the public except for A-Day. So we'll enjoy that a lot. And I really think that it's going to be a fun year, fun spring, and will bigger NCAA investigations overshadow spring football?
Yeah, that's the big question right now. And I've also been looking at Auburn, and right now they have Barrett Trotter, I guess, is the lead candidate, Clint Mosley, and then the freshman Kyle Frazier from the state of Arkansas, another huge recruit from the state of Arkansas. Auburn really doing unprecedented recruiting in Arkansas and Louisiana. I'll just leave that there. Yeah, I've heard that Kyle Frazier could actually be in the role for the starting quarterback down there, so it'll be interesting to see that. And, yeah, I think your analysis was dead on there. I think most people do expect McCarron to come out of it for Alabama. But don't be surprised if Phillip Sims doesn't end up the starter, because I think it could happen. Nick Saban's fair on all accounts and gives everybody equal chance, but you got to be a worker, and you have to be able to do the things to be successful and make the team successful. NFL Combine news. Of course, Auburn's Cam Newton decided to actually attend the Combine, and he is making a big splash. I saw yesterday that representatives from the Cowboys eyeing him. Julio Jones saw today where he had a pretty good...
Big news for Julio. He signs with Under Armour today, multi-million-dollar deal. Receivers, I believe, have their Combine day on Sunday, and that ought to be fun with the skills position, wide receivers and running back. Mark Ingram lost about 15 pounds, weighed in at 215. A lot of people saying he's just doing this so he can run faster at the Combine. That's not where he needs to play at. He needs to be about 230, 235, be his bowling ball self, be the shifty Emmitt Smith-type power back that he was at Alabama. Hopefully he's healed up from that knee surgery that just he never really seemed to get over the hump last year until about the Michigan State game and the Auburn game. So we'll see what happens with that. Should be pretty good. A lot of Alabama players should go in the first round. You probably got Fairley and Cam going in the top three. Ingram projected top 10. Julio projected top 15. Marcel Darius projected top 5. So you've got a lot of in-state talent that will go into the draft. A lot of SEC will go in the first round of the draft. It'll be a really fun thing to watch. Should bring some good news to the state. But, of course, Cam and Cecil, depending on what they do and how they react, could overshadow the entire draft and bring about that dark cloud even more so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens off-season. It should be a very interesting off-season in college football, especially around here. You might want to stay tuned. And we will be back to cover the latest news stories. We'll be a little bit less frequent in the off-season period, but still give you all the updates and news.